the beginning, there was darkness, and the land was formless, but God was there, present. And what he saw was a canvas. His word was both paint and brush, for the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him. He then spoke life on this canvas, and on this night he said, "Let there be light." O star at Bethlehem, may you shine so bright that you drive out the darkness and put a light on those that are often seen in other shadows, the shepherds. May you shine your light and set the scene. I look in the sky and begin to count Abraham's offspring. I'm reminded that God never lies. I can almost taste his promises so sweet as I gaze upon the Milky Way that remind me of lands filled with milk and honey, the angels. Fill the sky and put forth the casting call for all those who feel unqualified, looked over, or unworthy. There's a role for you to play. In the beginning, the word became flesh. He's looking for able bodies to say yes to the call he has on your life, Mary. Don't you know that the baby you hold doesn't need a pacifier? For he will soon tell the roaring waves and thundering storm, "Shh, be quiet." So hush now, don't you cry, for my papa sent a baby so that one day there will be no more tears falling from your eyes. Tell the Samaritan not to go to the well no more. There's a baby boy that will soon tell her that she won't have to thirst no more. The water of life, placed in this water trough filled with hay. God has a plan and he made a way. In the beginning there was darkness, but God was there. And he said, "Let there be light." At the birth there was chaos, but God was there. Oh, come let us adore him. A wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, a mighty God asleep where he lay. Now the government will soon rest on his shoulders. Oh, star of Bethlehem, may you still shine so bright that you guide the wise today. To behold Jesus, the light of life. Darkness is still here, trust me, I am aware. But God is present, God is here. So let there be light. Don't just let it be. Let there be light. The blind have to see, let there be sight. Bodies have to be raised, please let them rise. Again, I repeat, let there be light.
Merry Christmas, everybody. It's Christmas Eve. What a joy, what a blessing to be together. It's our last chance to worship in this Christmas season, and I just believe joy is a serious business, so we're going to sing Joy to the World. We invite you, maybe this is the day, even get up off your couch and let's join together, standing, rejoicing, celebrating, inviting God's presence into this place in a powerful way. All right?
1, 2. Woo!
Here we go.
What joy to the world that Lord is come. Let earth receive a King. Let every heart prepare in room. And heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Savior is. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
All right, you know the part. Repeat. Sound of worship all over the world. Oh, repeat,
repeat the sounds of praise and joy.
No more.
And no more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessing. Blessings flow, for as the curse is found, for as the
curse is bound. For as far as the curse is bound.
Now let's all sing together. He rules the world.
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love.
Oh, think about his love
and wonders sounding joy. Oh, repeat the sounds of praise and joy.
All right, Brian, here you go.
Yeah. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. Repeat the sounding joy.
Repeat the sounding joy. Oh, repeat the sounds of praise and joy.
And sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. And Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth, thou art dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing. To deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom reign. And by thine own eternal spirit rule in all our hearts alone, by thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
All right, sing after me.
Come to us.
Come to us.
Live in us.
Live in us.
Send your touch.
Send your touch.
As we sing your praises.
rest on us.
Rest on us.
Lead through us.
Adore him. Oh, come. mine forever. Your name is higher than the rising sun. Your name is higher than the rising sun. Praise His name forever. Speak it loud.
Christmas. I hope that we have been able to fill your home with the sounds of Christmas and the sounds of Christian assembly, worshiping. And isn't it great that sometimes it's just fun to worship? Well, I hope that your home is filled with joy today. And would you pray with me and let's receive the joy of the Lord. God, we do. We want to receive what you have for us. This Christmas, we are so thankful for your love, that in your love for us, you came, you showed up, and you came to be our Savior and to be the one who would speak good news to us, who would declare joy to us. And we want to receive that tonight in our hearts and in our homes, Lord. We thank you that we can receive that gift. Because of Jesus, in his name we pray. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas to all of you, and especially if you are a first-time visitor, if you're joining us online, what a delight to have this time with you. I want to let you know that we'll be having our first service of the new year on Saturday, January 2nd, both online and outdoor at Village Christian School. And we look forward to worshiping together in 2021. A reminder that we will not have services online or outdoors this Saturday, December 26th. We want you to enjoy that time with friends and family as much as you can. We encourage you to give online, as always, through the Christian Assembly LA app, our website, by clicking on the Give tab. And a reminder that if you'd like your giving contributions to be recorded this year, then submit those, please, by December 31st or earlier. We are so, so grateful for your generosity. Let's continue in our worship as we hear the kingdom recap of 2020, all the wonderful things that God has enabled us to do to extend his kingdom to the world around us. Check this out.
Well, Merry Christmas, church family. On this last Kingdom Weekend of the year, I want to give a recap of our Kingdom efforts in 2020. I want to start by sharing thank you to all those who have prayed, given generously, and served to see God's kingdom extended both near and far. This year has been uncertain and difficult for so many of us, yet we've had a great joy of being a part of God's mission and purposes. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Through this hard year, I want to share the incredible reach and impact that our kingdom efforts have had both locally and globally. In 2020, we currently have 30 ongoing kingdom partnerships and efforts. I want to start by sharing a recap of our global efforts. We have partnerships that are having impact in 16 countries around the world. God has a heart for the nations, and so do we. And I'm so thankful for our partners who are serving on the front lines. In many of these countries, compassion and relief efforts have been a focus point in 2020. One example is the relief efforts we've supported in the Philippines through Breakthrough Ministries. In addition to our feeding program, we were able to send an additional $15,000 for relief efforts to help those in need after the devastation of Typhoon Ulysses. Our partners are faithfully providing meals, essential supplies, and fixing homes in Jesus' name. We also gave $15,000 towards food, supplies, and clothes for many who were displaced from the war in Armenia. This was distributed through trusted local churches who are working on the ground in Armenia. And our generosity served as a supply line for these frontline relief efforts during the pandemic and times of crisis. We also supported the persecuted church in places like Vietnam, Central Asia, Iran, and North Nigeria. We're thankful to see the gospel preached and the kingdom of God expanding amidst such opposition and suffering for Christ. Through our partnerships, we have reached out to 16 unreached people groups. Unreached people groups are those that are less than 2% Christian, and we have a huge heart for seeing the least reached have opportunities to come to Christ where there's little to no access of the gospel. One story I want to share is how we funded the New Testament to be translated and distributed to the Bengali people in the Philippines for the first time. You know, it's so hard for us to imagine not having access to the Word of God in our own language. So we're so thankful to hear their hunger for the Word and are excited to see how the Word of God will spread among the Bengali people. Shifting over to our local efforts, I want to start by thanking everyone who is living missionally in your sphere of influence this year. I've been so encouraged by the many stories of acts of kindness, generosity, the gospel being shared in creative ways, and people stepping out in faith to help those in need. One of our local efforts is the way we supported 5 church plants who are reaching new people in new areas of Los Angeles. These church plants have combined for over 1,000 baptisms so far. We continue to reach out to youth and young adults with the gospel through our partnerships with Fellowship of Christian Athletes and InterVarsity. Last Kingdom Weekend, we heard from the Shalps from InterVarsity. And earlier in December, Doug led a training for CA on relational evangelism in a pandemic to equip us on what's been working so well among college students. And we also care for at-risk youth in Eagle Rock through our Kids Hope Mentoring Program. Another effort we've had is helping be a solution to the foster care crisis in LA County. This year, we started a new effort called Care Communities, which are teams that provide wraparound support for foster families to thrive. Our pantry and prayer efforts that we started early in the pandemic continue to care for those in need. Through our pantry and prayer efforts, we've now served over 5,000 people this year. Thanks so much to all those who gave groceries and served to make that possible. We also had people walk up who are experiencing homelessness, families who are connecting through our Kids Hope program, and people in need who've never been to Christian Assembly walk up. And through the pantry and prayer, we've been able to be a public witness to the love of Christ by both meeting physical and spiritual needs. You know, there have been so many stories of impact, but I want to share one. During the pantry and prayer, a man walked up to the table to receive groceries and he had this injury on his hand. One of our volunteers asked him if he could pray for him. And at first he said no and took a half step and turned back around and said, "You know, actually, I do need prayer. Can you pray for me and my brother's salvation?" And the volunteer praying for him broke down in tears and had compassion on him and prayed for him for salvation and ministered to him. And so the prayer and pantry goes beyond just meeting physical needs, but deeper spiritual needs during this pandemic. So we give glory to God for all that he's done this year and are so thankful we get to be a part of it. Thank you for the way that we've linked arms on mission on behalf of the vulnerable, the lost, and the least of these. Our kingdom offering supports all these efforts that are having tremendous impact. So if you're looking to make a year-end gift, you can give to our kingdom offering on our website or on our CA app. And just make sure to click the kingdom tab. Church, thank you so much for your ongoing generosity and have a Merry Christmas.
As part of our CA tradition, we just like to enjoy some Christmas music. And so we're just going to do a fun song. This is Sleigh Ride. I hope you enjoy it.
This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly.
As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins."
All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message to his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him."
King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?"
"In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel."
Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too."
After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
Hey, welcome everybody to our visitors or guests. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I've been praying for you, praying for our time together. And my name is Tom, by the way. Whether a friend invited you or you found us by some other way, I'm so glad that you are with us today. And to my CA family, a big welcome to you as well. Grateful for you, been praying for you as well. Merry Christmas. So grateful for God's word that we just heard read a moment ago. Years ago, someone ran an ad in the New York Times that said this, quote, "The meaning of Christmas is that love will triumph and that we will be able to put together a world of unity and peace," end quote. In other words, the ad was saying that we are the ones who can dispel the darkness of the world, that we can overcome poverty and injustice, violence and evil. And we can do this all on our own without any outside help. If we would just all work together, get our act together, we can create a world of unity and peace, the ad was saying. But can we? All on our own? One of the most thoughtful world leaders of the late 20th century was a man named Vaclav Havel, the first president of the Czech Republic. And he had a unique vantage point from which to peer deeply into both communism and socialism and capitalism. And he was not optimistic that any of those would, by themselves, solve the greatest human problem. He believed in science, but he also knew that science, unguided by moral principles, had given us the Holocaust. See, he concluded that neither the state nor technology nor the market alone could save us, because of all that can be used for either good or evil, depending on who is in charge of it at any given moment in time. So this was his conclusion. Vaclav Havel said this, quote, "The pursuit of the good life will not help humanity save itself, nor is democracy alone enough. A turning to and a seeing of God is needed." And he added, "The human race constantly forgets that we are not God." This Christmas, how can we turn to and see God? We're going to consider that. But before we do, let's pray. So God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for Jesus coming and entering into history and offering us hope and joy and peace and salvation of his doing, not just our own. So would you speak to us now about how each of us right now could turn to and see and encounter you, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, earlier we heard part of the Christmas story read from the book of Matthew in the Bible. And as part of that, we heard that Jesus is called Emmanuel, which translated what that means is God with us. So here's what that means. God with us was determined on Christmas. Us with God can only be determined one person at a time. So what I want to do is I want to look at five people or groups of people who were around on the very first Christmas and see how they responded as a way for God to call us, as Vaclav Havel put it, to turn to and to see God. Or as I want to say it, to make room for Jesus this Christmas. First person I want to look at is Joseph. And Joseph gives us this lesson. Be patient with God when you don't understand what he's doing. Joseph finds out from Mary that she's pregnant, and he's heartbroken. This is not what he signed up for. He wrestles with all of this, and he decides that the best thing to do is to break off the engagement quietly because he doesn't want to create a scene for her. A close reading of the scriptures tell us and show us that an angel explains things to Joseph after he had talked to Mary, not before. You see, even if we know the Bible stories really well, our memories can play some tricks on us, and we can kind of want to clean them up or make the time frames shorter between events and things such of that nature. So think for a moment, though, about Joseph. When Mary tells him that she's going to have a baby, he's not yet heard anything from an angel. There's no sign from God for him at this point, no inkling of the miracle that was to come. At this point in Joseph's story, it just feels like one big mess, one big betrayal by a woman that he deeply cared about. But here's the truth. A relationship with God has always required faith. In fact, the book of Hebrews tells us this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who approaches him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Life, my life, your life, all of life is full of a lot of open loops, questions not answered, things not yet understood by us. And Joseph learned that part of making room for Jesus in his life was to be patient when he did not yet understand all of what God was doing. And honestly, even after the angel spoke to Joseph, it certainly answered a few questions, but created others that would require even more patience from him. Save his people from their sins? How's that going to happen? If you have an area in your life where you have more questions than answers, where you don't know exactly what God is doing, maybe that is God's invitation to you this Christmas, comes from Joseph, to make room for me by being patient as you trust me, as I unfold my plans for you that you do not yet fully understand. The second person we're going to look at is the innkeeper. And I think the innkeeper shows us this lesson. Don't let busyness keep you from making room for Jesus. Think about the life of the innkeeper. Later in his life, I bet the innkeeper wished he had made more room for Jesus. It's clear from the story that he's swamped with business at his inn from all of the people coming to town from the census. He's probably running around doing a million different activities and a million things, and we all know how busyness can swamp us in our life. In fact, the number one answer that we give to the question, how are you doing? We say, good, busy. If your life is like mine, then nothing slows down at Christmas time, but a lot of extra items are added. And some of them are great items. But even the great items do create more activity. I'm guessing it might be the same with you. Maybe you have shopping to do. You have gifts to wrap. Maybe you have annual reviews that you have to do at work. Maybe you have budget planning for the upcoming year. Maybe you're doing some year-end tax planning and you're figuring out charitable donations and all the rest that comes with the end of the year. I love how the author Bob Goff says it. He says, quote, I wonder how long it was before the innkeeper knew what he had missed. When he began to hear about the Messiah from Nazareth who brought people back from the dead, and he healed lepers of their disease, I can't help but think he regretted his choice to turn them away once he connected the dots. He had to relive that night in his mind, coming up with ways that he could have made room for the Savior of the world. As busy people, you and I, we can point to a lot of reasons that justify that we meant to make room for Jesus, but we never really got around to it. I mean, we had bills to pay and kids to raise and responsibilities at our own ends that we keep. And I'm sympathetic to the innkeeper, but I don't want to be the innkeeper. And I don't want you to be the innkeeper either. I look at my own schedule and pace, and I realize that I have to work harder to make room for Jesus at Christmas more than any other time of the year. It's kind of strange that way. I guess we all are a bit like that. And I want you to hear, may we all avoid the innkeeper's mistake so that we don't look back with regrets, realizing that we missed what God was doing in our own backyard. What renovations, or maybe another way to say it is, let's do some renovations in our lives to make room for the Messiah while we still have time. Where do you need to reduce your busyness to create space and room for Jesus in this season? The third group we could look at is the wise men. And I believe the lesson that God wants to speak to us is this from their life. Your story is not determined by how far you are from God right now. It's determined by what you do next. Now, we don't know exactly how far the wise men traveled, but we do know that it was probably quite some distance. We do know that they were not Jews, both because they came from the east, but also because if they were Jews, they would have known that the prophet Micah prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Instead, they get that information from the priests and the teachers of the law after King Herod gets it from them. In fact, as we heard in Matthew 2, verse 9, it says this, after this interview, the wise men went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem and went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And they opened their treasure chests and they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They made room for Jesus. They traveled, they inquired, they searched, they came, and they worshiped Christ. They made room for him in their schedule, in their finances, in their questions, in their searching. Maybe right now you feel like you're a million miles from God. Maybe like the wise men, you didn't grow up knowing the Bible. Your family wasn't Christian. Maybe you have some questions that you need to learn from the Bible, like the wise men did, as part of your search to know Christ. Maybe for you instead, for others, you feel a million miles away from God because of a sin that you've committed. But here's the good news for you. The wise men in their story make it clear that no matter how far away you feel or how far away you are from God, Jesus Christ has come for you. The wise men started out far away, but they kept saying yes to God's invitation to make room for him in their lives by their next step. It's what Vaclav Havel said when he said, a turning to and a seeing of God is needed. That can be your story with God this Christmas too. In fact, God gives us this promise through the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 29:13. We're told, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I love how the author, Dick Foth, summarizes the good news of Jesus. He says it this way, he came to our place, he took our place, and he invites us back to his place forever. That's the gospel in a nutshell. At Christmas, he came. God came to our place. On the cross, he died. God took our place. And through the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, God is inviting us to do eternal life at his place. See, the thing is about that New York Times ad is that part of it they had right. That desire for a new world where love triumphs and peace and unity reign. Maybe you think, well, Tom, I want that. I want love to triumph. I want peace and unity to reign. But what's God or Jesus got to do with any of that? That's where the New York Times ad got it wrong. The vision of love triumphant and peace and unity will never happen just out of generic love or even human love. Our love is not that strong. Our wills alone are not that good. Don't believe me? Just take a look at human history. I don't have to list all the ways that human history is not an unending march of love and peace and unity, despite our best efforts. And actually, sometimes it's not that because of our worst efforts. Vaclav Havel is spot on. Pursuit of the good life will not help humanity save itself. A turning to and seeing God is needed. That New York Times ad is wrong. Christmas is not just about love, generic love, or even human love. It's about God's love, shown for you and for me in Jesus Christ. It's not just about what our love will build on our own. It's about what His love can transform in each one of us who come to Him by faith. Jesus alone is our only hope. And the good news of great joy is that Jesus knew that. And despite the evil, despite the skepticism, despite the suspicion, despite the sin, despite the hatred, despite the brokenness of this world, He chose to come, Emmanuel, God with us. Christ has come to us so that you can come to Him. No matter how far away you feel from God, God is not socially distant. And if you come into close contact with Him, you won't get sick. You'll get forgiven and healed. Near the end of our time, I'm going to give you an explicit moment for you to be made right with God by placing your faith in Jesus as your Savior and the Lord of your life, if you've never done that. And I pray like the wise men, when I give you that chance, that you're going to say a resounding yes, knowing that God with us has come. But you with God is going to require you to turn to Him. The fourth group that I think God wants to speak to us from is the priests. And I would sum it up this way. They know, but they don't go. Christmas is the story of Jesus entering the world, Emmanuel, God with us. And sometimes we hear that, we can think, okay, God's with us, great. And then we just move on with our lives as if nothing has changed. We know the truth, but we're not changed by it to make room for Jesus. That's the situation for the priests. Consider the priests. Have you ever thought about the fact that there are no priests at the manger? I mean, why not? Clearly, they had every chance to be there. Matthew makes it clear that the wise men first came to Jerusalem to asking Herod where the newborn king of the Jews would be born. And Matthew makes it clear that Herod calls a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law, and he had to ask them because he didn't know. And they give the right answer in Bethlehem, and they even cite the right prophet who prophesied the location that the Messiah would be born in. Surely the priests knew about the arrival of the wise men. I mean, this would have been a diplomatic occasion since the wise men were granted an audience with the king. Plus, Matthew told us that not only was King Herod disturbed when these questions came to him from the wise men, but so was everyone in Jerusalem. And even if Matthew's speaking in hyperbole there, surely the priests would have known because of their interaction. So clearly, the priests knew something was up. They had just been asked by the king about where the Messiah was to be born. And by the way, Bethlehem is only 6 miles from Jerusalem. So don't miss what's happening here. The wise men see a star and they travel hundreds of miles to worship Christ. The priests who know all of the prophecies won't travel 6 to do the same thing. They know, but they don't go. The author, A.W. Tozer, observes this. He says, most Christians are theological Christians. They're trying to be happy without a sense of the presence of God. Will you make room this Christmas to encounter the presence of God through His Word and through His Holy Spirit that Christ has given us. Weekly worship is one way to do that, which you're doing right now, so way to go on that. But will you, will I keep doing that? Will I keep making space? Will you keep making space for Jesus? Another way to do that is through daily times of reading God's Word, the Bible, and daily times of prayer. Another way is finding your way to serve others compelled by the love of Christ. So indeed, the world experiences a bit more unity, a bit more love, but it's not because of your love, it's because of God's love in you as you've encountered and come to Christ. God with us is settled at Christmas, but us with God is settled one life, one day at a time. The fifth and final group is the shepherds. And the lesson they want to teach us is this, is that Jesus didn't want us to just be believers. He wants us to be participants. The priests know, but they don't go. Contrast the priests with the shepherds, whose story we heard last week. After the angels tell the shepherds about God being with us, Jesus being born, here is what they say in Luke 2:15. When the angels had returned to the heaven, the shepherds say to each other, "Let's go." They say what the priests never said. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. They say what? Let's go. They are not just hearers of the word. They are not just believers of the word. They are participants. But their participation doesn't end at the manger. Luke 2:17 tells us, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherds' stories were astonished, but Mary kept all of these things in her heart and thought about them often. And the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, for it was just as the angel had told them. Receivers of the good news who had become believers, but believers who had become participants by their worship, participants who had become sharers of this good news of great joy for everyone. See, this isn't just what the shepherds did. It's what Jesus told any who want to be his followers to do after he resurrected. In John 20:21, Jesus said, again, he said to his followers, "Peace be with you. And as the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Not just believers, participants, not just shepherds, you and me too. God with us. Christmas at its core is about the birth of Jesus. And Jesus is God's invitation of the highest cost to the people in deepest need, motivated by the greatest love, God's love. God with us has been determined at Christmas, but us with God is determined only one life at a time. Let's apply this now to our own life. God, would you help us? Even now we pray. Apply these stories of these people. Help us find who we are so we know our next step with you. And even as we pray, even as just we have a moment, for you to encounter God. Some of you just need to hear. Maybe you're like Joseph. Maybe God is inviting you now to make room for Jesus by choosing to be patient with what you don't yet understand. And some of you, you just need to say right now, between you and God, that's me, God. And I choose now to make room for you by being patient with you as you unfold your good plan. I trust you now with fill in the blank. I trust you with that person or that situation. And as I do, give me hope and joy that God is with us. And I want to tell you, I've seen so many of you do that this year, and I am proud of you. Maybe others, the wise men, is God's messenger to you. The wise men were seekers. and they found Christ, and you can too. God promises we will be found by him when we seek him with all of our heart. Will you make room in your heart right now for Christ? You can pray like this: Jesus, you are God with us so that we can come to you. And right now, by faith, I want to come to you. Forgive me of my sin by your work on the cross, and teach me to know your word and do your will all the days of my life with joy. I want all the days of my life with you as Savior and Lord. And I want all of my eternity to be spent with you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, if you gave your life to Christ, let me welcome you, welcome, welcome, welcome into the family of God. I want you to take time right now to text in or email in. The information's on the screen to let us know. We're going to leave the number and the email up on the screen so that you can do that right now. I don't want you to miss your moment to take your next step as I follow on with others. Still, others of you, maybe God's messenger to you is the priest. They know, but they didn't go. Where is God inviting you right now? Not so much to learn more, but to act upon what you already know about Jesus. Will you make room for him by loving God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength? Will you make room for him this Christmas by loving your neighbors as yourself? Will you make room for him by loving your enemies as Jesus taught us to do? Let us never be a people content to know God's word, but not obey God's word. Others, maybe for you, God's messenger is the innkeeper. Busyness kept him from making room for Jesus. Between you and God, how can you slow down to make room for Christ? I want to encourage you. Take control of your schedule so that you can make certain to create space to meet with Jesus in this Christmas season. You won't regret it if you do that, but you will regret it if you don't. And lastly, the shepherds. Not just believers, but participants. Who do you know that you can share the good news of great joy of Jesus that's come for everyone, for them to know at this Christmas? Remember, this birth of Jesus is good news of great joy for everyone. Who do you know that God is wanting you to make room for Jesus this Christmas by making certain that they've heard the good news of Jesus? Don't assume they know. Remember, Jesus is calling us to not just believe, but to participate this Christmas. To my CA family, I'm so proud of how you keep making room for Jesus in every area of your life. And I want to say, way to go. Let's keep it up together. I am so very proud of you in that. And let us close. Let me close with this prayer. Lord, we thank you for Christmas. And as we have now heard the truth that Jesus is God with us, let us make whatever decisions we need to make to be us with God, one life at a time, both now and always. And as we have done that, so now mark us with hope and joy and faith and love that comes only from knowing that Christ the Savior is born unto us, now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas
from the bottom of my heart.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thanks so much for joining us for this Christmas Eve service. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service, or you'd like to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, then let us know so we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address on the screen or text decision to the number 52855. I want to close with this blessing for all of us. May you receive the good news of great joy, which is to all people, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born for us. And may you receive him in all his glory. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to my CA family.